Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen, DAD, and I'm joined this week not by Denise Salcedo because she is in Las Vegas for Money in the Bank. Instead, I am joined by from London, Tempu Tiugio. Tempest, how are you?
Boom, 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 clap. Sorry. I'm doing well. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing really good, bud. I'm doing really, really good. Tomorrow, you got your first in-person podcast with, first in-person SmackDown Rampage review. Of course, you and Pete did the review for Forbidden Door. How did you find doing a show in person as opposed to as we are currently doing in the back in the Thunderdome era?
I mean, yeah, doing it in person is indeed much easier, I find. You know, just being able to bounce off someone in a more conversational way than you're just, you know, you're having a Skype call with them. And it's just much more personal to sit across from someone and have a conversation than do it this way. Not that I can't enjoy also doing it this way, because, of course, we can fiddle with the back end and play with things and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I knew that it would be an easy adjustment to make because I knew it would be like, more fun, more energizing, all that sort of stuff. And sure enough, it was.
Yeah, it is much easier like doing it in person. I suppose people will be asking like, well, why don't you do this one in person? Because you're both now in the same country. but it's funny, like I got a message from Denise when I got home from work yesterday. Actually, it wasn't even when I got home from work yesterday. It must have been a sort of like 8, 9 o'clock. She just messaged me being like, she was asking me questions about like invoicing and stuff for the Quizzlemania that she did. And then she's like, also, just a reminder, like, I'm not there tomorrow because I'm in Vegas. I'm just about to fly out to Vegas, so I'm not going to be doing the show tomorrow. And I was like, I don't remember you telling me this. Or if you did, I have completely forgotten. I should have thought about it. I should have seen it coming because I knew she was going to Vegas. I knew she was going for Money in the Bank. I think, though, that I'm pretty sure her plan was to go out on Saturday and, like, fly out for the show. But they're doing all the media stuff today. Which is why she is like, which is why she's not on the show. So either she did tell me in advance or she didn't tell me in advance. And she's just now being like, oh yeah, no, I definitely told you. Just preying upon me being it. Because if you remember, if anyone listened to last week's show, we were talking about like, hey, we're back together again. We're going to be doing the next couple of weeks and then I'll probably be off for a week because I'm off next Friday. So I'm not doing the show with her next Friday. So, but yeah, no Denise this week, unfortunately. I mean, actually, it's okay. I've got you here.
Yeah. Yeah. Team Lupest Fiasco.
Team Lupest the Third.
Yes.
I like that.
Professor Lupest.
I never played any of the Professor Layton games. Yeah. I was a big Phoenix Wright guy, but I never played any of the Professor Layton games. And they did the Professor Layton Phoenix Wright crossover game. And I never played that either, even though I'm a big, big, big Phoenix Wright fan. Like, I'm a huge Phoenix Wright fan. I got, like, the books. I've got all the CDs. I've got, like, the anime series, the live-action movie. When I was a student, the third game hadn't come out in the UK yet, but I knew that the Japanese one had an English language selection on it. So I imported it over from Japan so I could play the third game. And I absolutely loved it. And I crushed it as well because it's a fabulous game.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's funny. I always like associate the Phoenix Wright games and the Professor Layton series. Like they, to me, it's almost like they're the same thing. Almost just because of how linked they are in my mind now. I don't even know why. They're just linked to each other.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure actually my copy I had of Trials and Tribulations, which is the third or the second one, or is Injustice for All the third one? I can't remember which order they go in now. I think Injustice for All is the second one. I imported that from America because the first two Phoenix Wright games in Japan didn't have English language options. Only the third one did. But the first one I had was the UK, the European release of it. And I picked it up from like a secondhand shop just because I had heard some people talk about it like online and stuff. And I was like, I'll give this a go. And I don't think I fully got it at first. Like it took me a little while to kind of like get into and like work out how the game is played. Like I guess it's a lot of tapping and stuff, but I thought it was a case of like, you know, it's showing the evidence at the right point. So you can't just be like, go into a trial and be like, I'm going to show this out. Like, this is literally the murder weapon with the fingerprints on it. I need to show that and just win the case. You've got to show that at the right time. So I didn't fully get it. To me, like, you know, I lost the first time around because I didn't get it. But then, like, I got it and then I was hooked. And I completed that series, that trilogy, so many times. Did it on the DS. I've done it on the PlayStation because they did the re-release of it then. I got the iOS trilogy pack as well and completed it on there. Tempest, maybe I'm actually might just restart them again. I might boot up my iPad and I might just start redoing them again because I've got bloody Apollo Justice and I don't like it. I do not like Apollo Justice, but I do like me some Phoenix Wright. So maybe I'll just go back and play that original trilogy again.
Yeah, why not? You know, why not? Yeah. Go for it. Why not? Make yourself happy, Luke.
Like, so I mean, because you're now here, like, have you brought any of your like gaming stuff with you, or is that like still over in Canada?
I brought my Switch with me and my various Switch games. The rest of my gaming stuff is in Canada, and I'm thinking of either having that sent or making that part of the next trip when I go home and come back during the summer. It has been on my mind, though, because, I mean, this week and, of course, this month, like, I'm probably not going to have a whole lot of time to sit down and play PlayStation and stuff, right? Like, a little bit busy with other things. But, yeah, I'm definitely not going to go 2 years without the PS5 that I spent $700 on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking to, because I don't know where any of my DS stuff is, so I may look to buy myself a secondhand DS, because at a live show I did in January, someone who came to it gave me a copy, or lent me their copy, of Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, and it's just been sat on my desk, unplayed thus far. Like, Harriet Manga Girl lent me this, and I still haven't played it. And basically, it's been sat here waiting for me. Yes, Harlot to marry Manga Girl, waiting for me to get hold of a DS so I can play it. So I basically have it there as a reminder to actually like get off my keister and go and get one sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ever going to play my DS again. It'll be tough. Like, my 3DS is pretty jank at this point. It's because I got it at launch.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my 3DS at launch, and it just like died, stopped working like 2 months in, you know, like no idea why. I would just open it, press the button, and it would freeze whenever I'd try and boot up a game. So I was like, all right, this is a problem. So I sent it away, got another one sent to me by Nintendo, totally free. They just like either fixed it or sent me a new one or whatever. And from there until now, I've never gotten it replaced. I've never got another one. So that's like an 11-year-old 3DS now. And it's like chipped off and like the corners are kind of missing. Yeah. The thumb pad is missing. It's a proper like falling apart old system that still works.
That's kind of what I'm looking for. I found all of my old stuff like at my folks' house. I thought it was lost to time. Like I thought it was completely gone because my parents had told me that it was in a storage facility and it wasn't there. And I was like, well, I guess it's lost. Turns out they'd already moved it to their new house and they put it in the shed. So I found it all again. So I found like my original Game Boy, like I had when I was a kid in the 90s. And that is like, it's so yellow and orange and dirty and gross. So that's going to be a project I want to undertake, is to do a big clean of that. But yeah. I don't know if my DS was in there. I'm pretty sure my GBA was in there, but my DS, because I had the gray, the big fat gray DS first, and then I got the DS Lite when that came out. I used to work in a video game shop at launch for the DS and stuff, so I was like, as soon as they would, one would come in, like we would, I bought one and bought the Lite. So if I haven't got it there, I'm gonna see if I can find one secondhand on eBay, because I could probably pick it up for about 15 quid and I just nose down. No, that'll do me. Anyway, Tempest, let's get into the main portion of this show, talking about Logan Paul, because not only is he back, he's back and in POG form. Here is the show. This came out yesterday, announced on his own social media account, that Logan Paul has signed with WWE. This is what WWE themselves wrote about it on WWE.com. Logan Paul is officially back after signing a WWE contract earlier this week. The YouTube megastar took to social media to break the news and share photos of his visit to WWE headquarters. Paul didn't waste the opportunity in also delivering a message to The Miz following their run-in at WrestleMania. Paul teamed with the A-lister at the Showcase of the Immortals, only to have The Miz drop him with a skull-crushing finale following a win over the Mysterios. After speculation they may want to team again, Paul made it clear that he's out for payback at SummerSlam. Stay tuned into WWE Digital for more updates following the blockbuster signing. So, this is apparently quite a big deal as well. It's like a multi-year deal that he has signed with WWE. I don't think he's going to be on every Raw or every SmackDown. He's certainly not going to be on every premium live event, but he has signed with WWE for like a extended amount of time. So this is not just a random cameo appearance for a celebrity anymore. He is a WWE signee. What do you make of the news?
Man, Rob Gronkowski did really well when he got signed. Now, okay, I just. Rob Gronkowski, I think, found out that this was probably a little bit harder than he had anticipated. And Logan Paul's already kind of proven that he can do this at some level and not make a fool of himself more than usual. You know what I mean? And I can't really be mad at them for this, because this is what they want to do. They want their goal right now is to find celebrities who can play wrestlers instead of just build wrestlers into celebrities.
It's like the athletes thing that they've got going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is probably one of the ones that I think has the better shot at working, because we've already seen that Logan Paul has some ring presence. He can put on a show, you know, he is a showman, if nothing else. And hey, I mean, I'm not looking forward to a SummerSlam match with The Miz by any means, but if you're able to put him in there with people like Rey Mysterio, like, yeah, they might be able to get something out of him. It's just how long term of a return of on investment are you really going to get out of something like that? And I think that's the question that's going to end up being asked for like the next couple of years.
I think so as well. And I think it's a case of like, Logan Paul's success in WWE is kind of dependent on the company itself as opposed to him as a person. Like, I to put this out there, I really have no dog in a fight when it comes to Logan Paul, because I've never seen a thing that Logan Paul has done outside of the match he had at WrestleMania with The Miz. It's the very first thing I've ever seen Logan Paul do that's not WWE related. Like, well, actually, that is... anything WWE related is the only stuff I've ever seen him do. Never seen him do a YouTube, never seen him do a TikTok, never seen him do a boxing. I've never seen him do a nothing. So, like, I've got real no dog in this fight. I don't know what he's like. I've heard he's a bit of a tool, but I've got no evidence to back that up. All I know is that he looks like one and he wears Pokemon cards. That's about the extent of my knowledge of Logan Paul. But, like, I think that this push of him is sort of like indicative of what WWE are actually looking for. So I thought it was interesting, because a friend of mine Chris Scullion, who is a video games journalist, an excellent video games journalist as well, and a wonderful author of the SNES, NES, Mega Drive encyclopedias and stuff. He's currently working on a few others. Go and check him out on Scully 1888. He put up a tweet yesterday after the news broke that said, "I cannot stand Logan Paul, which is what, grudgingly, makes him a perfect signing for WWE. It's been a long time since WWE had a heel that people legitimately dislike." And I was the one who then had to break the news to him. I was like, "You'd be right, Chris, only they see him as a babyface and they are pushing him as a
babyface." Is also that now, isn't there?
And that's which is going to be my question of this is because, like, when they've brought Logan Paul in as a babyface, he's been booed out of the building. However, I can imagine WWE suits and creative and stuff, they look at his social media numbers and his YouTube subscribers, and they're like, "Well, kids must love him. Like, the fans must love him. They can't possibly boo this man. He's a mega celebrity." So that's why they push him as a babyface.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, chicken and the egg kind of scenario where it's like, well, you want to attract kids and, you know, impressionable 13-year-olds, and that's Logan Paul's demographic, I would guess. I don't know. I haven't done an in-depth look into Logan Paul's, you know, his YouTube analytics. Hire me, Logan Paul. I'll do your admin. But I don't think...
I'm looking for a job. You've just moved here. Like, we've already given you a job.
Please, Luke. I'm still a starving art student. At heart, anyway. But, I mean, like, I don't even know if those people look at him as like, yeah, Logan Paul, a babyface, or if they watch him just to see what he does. Like, I don't know if people buy the Paul brothers boxing pay-per-views to see them win. Mm. You know, like, you just want to see the spectacle of whatever nonsense they do. That's my theory, at least. So I think them pushing him as a babyface is just them once again not having their finger on the pulse, because he's very clearly better at being a heel, is the thing. Whether you want to attract people with him on the show or not, he is better cast as a heel. He's unlikable. So use it. Put him on TV and make him the most unlikable people, because I mean, yeah, if there's anything that's going to make me want to see Logan Paul in a wrestling ring, it will probably be seeing him get his ass kicked. So build that up and have that be the point.
I kind of agree with you on that one. Like, it's they brought him out as a heel a couple of times for the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens feud last year at WrestleMania. And people were like, oh, yeah, no, he was a heel, right? But then he did he was doing a something last summer. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was another boxing thing. I don't quite remember. And they brought him out as a babyface to be like this huge, like, oh my God, look, it's Logan Paul. And they're going to do this big babyface segment. And he was booed out of the building. I remember, like, doing the review of it at the time, being like, I can't see how this company doesn't see this guy and look and be like, oh yeah, next time we bring him in, he needs to be a heel because the crowd boo him. No matter where we bring him out, the crowd always boo him. So when they brought him out,
the WWE sees this guy as a babyface. I can't believe it. Haven't heard this before.
But they may also be like, you know, WWE fans, like wrestling fans, they'll come around to it, right? So, like, they bring him back for WrestleMania this year and they team him with The Miz. And then we were doing shows that were like genius. Like, that is a perfect person to team Logan Paul with. Two Hollywood, doing big Bucky O'Hare ears for podcast listeners, two Hollywood douchebags. Neither of them have got a foot in Hollywood at all, but they, you know, present themselves as these A-list douchebags. And put those two together, amazing stuff, perfect together. And then they had that match at WrestleMania against the Mysterions, which was absolutely banging. To his credit, Logan Paul was awesome in that match. Mm-hmm. A superb celebrity match. Bad Bunny levels of being an awesome celebrity match. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's great. What a great use of Logan Paul. A great use of The Miz. This is literally the only thing The Miz is good for in WWE. So kudos to the company for getting this done. And then The Miz turned on him. And I thought, oh man, we're back to square one again of this company thinking he's a huge babyface because he's got like 3 million subscribers on YouTube and 6 million followers on Twitter and all of these deedly-dee social media numbers where, you know, that people must like him. But I think you're right. Like, I think the reason why Logan Paul has this kind of attraction or has this sort of following is less for people like him, more people want to see what he's going to do next.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen someone point out in the comment, like, what is Logan getting out of this? He doesn't need the money or the platform. He's rich and he is now doing side quests with life.
He can do, he wants to do it.
Yeah.
He can do whatever. Yeah, why wouldn't
you?
Why wouldn't you?
You were given the option of signing a WWE contract. They're like, we'd love to have you. Please, here. We'll let you do what you want to do. Here's money to come and be on TV and be at WrestleMania. I would and wear a ridiculous outfit always. With a Pokemon card in the thing.
Always like, going to have featured matches and the pay-per-views that he's on because he'll always be on WrestleMania. He'll always be on SummerSlam. He'll probably be in the Rumble. Like, he's going to be in those big fours. Like, maybe he'll be in Money in the Bank next year. Like, that would be sort of like the extent of it. He's not going to win Money in the Bank. They're not going to put the title on him. But he is a guy that they can... I mean... Well, maybe we'll fantasy book that in a second. See.
Adam would book Logan Paul as WWE champion.
In fairness, Adam turned to me the other day and he was like, Luke, I've done every fantasy booking thing. What do you want me to do next? Because that's how it works in the office every time. When people say, like, how does Adam come up with his ideas? He turns to me and says, what haven't I done or what could I do? And I'll be like, here are five ideas. And he'll just pick one of those. Like, next time he asks, I'm going to say, fantasy book Logan Paul, WWE champion. See how we can get around that. But like, yeah, I think, for him. But yeah, if you ask him the question, like, why are you doing this? Then like, if he's always like, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to wrestle for WWE. Now he's doing it. And he doesn't even have to do the full schedule and stuff. So it's even probably better for him. But I wonder if there's a line in the movie. I don't know if anyone has seen this movie. It's a movie called Private Parts. It's actually funny enough. This is the second time in 2 days that this movie has come up. It's the, it's the Howard Stern biopic. So I was talking about Howard Stern on What's On at Cineworld Cinemas because he leaked the news that he's going to be in the Doctor Doom movie, right? And not as Doctor Doom, thankfully. But in the movie Private Parts, there is a bit when the radio station that he's on hates having him on there because he's going on there and doing all of his controversial stuff. And they're going through the listening figures. And they're like, 50% of the people that listen to this show... And they're like, well, why do they like it? It's like, because they want to see what he's going to do next. And they're like, well, okay, well, I don't want to hear about the people who like him. What about the people that hate him? Why do they listen? It's like, because they want to see what he's going to do next. And I wonder if that's what Logan Paul's following is. It's not just a case of that people like him. It's just that, hey, what wacky nonsense is he going to do next? WWE is the next step of that. But that doesn't mean that everybody likes him.
Yeah. And that, to me, is the biggest... deal here. Just this would be a successful signing right off the bat if he was just a heel. I'd be like, you can't, you already have not a top heel because I wouldn't put him in the main event of a pay-per-view to go 20 minutes with whoever.
Yeah,
but that's a pretty but that's a pretty big asset to have. That's a big heat generator. And I don't know. I don't know why they have such a hard time figuring out what people like in a hero, in a protagonist. They've never gotten it. They never understand why people like heroes, what makes heroes get over. They've never understood it. So this doesn't really surprise me, but hopefully, he'll come out on Raw or SmackDown maybe or whatever and just be like, yeah, nerd, suck it. Look at all this money I'm making. Ah, I'm living your dreams. And I'll be like, all right, we're cool. We're back on track. No problem. But that needs to happen first.
Well, but unfortunately it's not because as we kind of know from this, based on the attack that he did at WrestleMania and Miz's promo that he did on Raw, where he was like, me and Logan Paul are going to be a tag team again at SummerSlam. Even though Kevin Patrick was like, but you turned on him. At WrestleMania, and he's like, no, like it's a teaching lesson and things like that. So we're heading towards Logan versus Miz at WrestleMania, right? With Logan being the babyface. So we're already like, we're fighting a losing battle here because I just think what's going to happen is the Logan Paul is going to get booed out of the building and the Miz is going to get cheered. And that's not quite the reaction you want to have. The, I suppose my next question though is like, where do we go from there? Say for example, so for the sake of argument, WWE are keeping him as a babyface because likely they will. He's a celebrity, ergo he has to be one. Where do we go next with a Logan Paul?
I mean, well, if he's a babyface, clearly with like Damian Priest or something, because he is just the celebrity. You go wrestle the celebrity man.
Oh, no, Tempest. That's where you are wrong, sir. Because the next step after Baron Corbin, the Miz is a Baron Corbin. That's the next. Because look at Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin lost his feud to Madcap Moss quite decisively and kept losing his feud with Madcap Moss. And what did Madcap Moss get out of it? Absolutely nothing. What did Baron Corbin get out of it? A featured match at SummerSlam against Pat McAfee. Because Baron Corbin is just SmackDown Miz. So like that's the next step for this.
I hate the show. Tell like I this is not the Baron Corbin rant session, but if someone could tell me how we're getting Tommaso Ciampa and Judgment Day and whatever else on main event, but every week we need to fit in a Happy Talk segment.
Because he's Baron Corbin. He's good
at what they got their balls in a vice, and he's just milking them for all they're worth.
He's a perfect WWE wrestler. Like that's what he is. Like WWE is the 2.5-star machine. And that is what Baron Corbin does best. It's why The Miz is so successful there. Nothing against them for that, by the way. I rate that as a positive on both of them. And like,
good for them.
Good, great for them. And also, those two, if they ever left those WWE walls, people would be like, oh my God, they would tank anywhere else. No, they would flourish anywhere else. If you took a Baron Corbin and put him in AEW, he would be the biggest heel in that company. He would get the most heat anyone has ever got in that company, and would then have, off the back of that, some of the best matches. Going to be people who are way better at working than he is, having a mate, like getting the best matches out of him.
I don't have any doubt that because the level of the roster is so high that they could get that. But I'm like, is Baron Corbin really going to be able to pull like 95 Mick Foley ECW psychology off in AEW? It. He probably could, you know, where it was like Mick Foley would get people down and put them in a rest hold. And they'd be like, boo! You're better than that.
Baron Corbin would do rest hold. He would make a rest hold such a thing.
Right? But it would be different. It doesn't necessarily have to be worse. It's just different. Because like it's like the thing with Mick was like, I know you're better than this, Mick. You're a good wrestler. You could do more than a rest hold. Whereas with Baron Corbin, it's like, why is this guy doing rest holds in my company?
He would have the same matches he's having now. Yeah, exactly. Exact same matches. He would like go against the ropes, what a punch. And then over against the ropes, boom, and I'll throw a punch. And then headlock central. And he'll have a whale of a time. He'll get mega heat for it. More heat than he get in WWE for it. Anyway, we've gone off topic here. Like, I could rant about Baron Corbin some more if we want, because you're right. Like, why do we always need happy talk segments? We're going to have another one tomorrow, Tempest, because he's in a feud with Pat McAfee now. But like, this kind of brings up the bigger question, right? So like, the three matches that we've got announced for SummerSlam thus far, at least that we know of, is Roman Reigns versus Brock for the Undisputed Championships. It's Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin. And it's The Miz versus Logan Paul. So that's, like WrestleMania, three celebrity matches ostensibly, because like there's a part-timers in Roman and Brock. It's the celebrity match with Pat McAfee, and it's the celebrity match with Logan Paul. I think we are just looking at, like I said, you know, earlier this year, WrestleMania is now just looking to be the celebrity special, because they'll just bring celebrities in and stuff. I think we may now be looking at a world where that's also what SummerSlam is.
Maybe. It's entirely possible. And, like, I mean, again, it's not the kind of wrestling that I personally enjoy. I think that Pat McAfee, when put with a good opponent, has had good performances. And similarly with Logan Paul, I thought he did very well against Rey Mysterio. And, man, I just don't know how often you can do these celebrity things before they start to lose their luster a little bit.
That's the one, right? Like if you do a Logan Paul match and a Pat McAfee match at every WrestleMania and every SummerSlam, do they then start to lose their appeal?
Yes, I think they will. And they're not all going to be Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny was not the rule. He was the exception to the rule that he was fantastic. And again, we're now getting Logan Paul against The Miz, this match could just be awful. And then we might be going a different tune to Logan Paul in WWE for 2 to 3 years and celebrity matches 3 or 4 times a year. Like, all of a sudden, if they're not doing this properly, like, this could all work. This could work if they did it right. It's just, are they going to do it right? Are they going to put these guys with people who are going to be able to carry them and protect them and make them look good in defeat or in victory? Because, again, you can look good in defeat and bad in victory, and WWE's not great at balancing those every once in a while. So there's a big possibility that this could work. I just don't have that faith in WWE that over a long period of time, this won't be a disaster, you know?
The more I look at this, the more I think I've kind of started to figure things out a little bit. You know, We always talk about how WWE can't build stars. Yeah. Like, they seem to have this real knack for... Exactly. They have been unable to build stars. So now they're just buying stars. And that's it. They are just buying celebrities, getting celebrities signing up, and then those are the new stars. You know, they were talking about, like, Sean made this point on the Fightful review of Raw, and I brought this up with Sullivan because I agree with it so, so much, which is that if WWE tried half as much effort into the presentation they did of John Cena on anyone else on their roster, they would have stars every single week. Like, yeah. They did so much. They put so much effort into making John Cena feel like a big deal on Monday's Raw. And you don't even have to work that hard with John Cena. They put so much effort into him, and they never put any of that effort into any of their new guys, like any of their current stars. It's like, they would have so many stars that they could rely on, and they wouldn't have to keep then relying on a John Cena to come back to bump ratings and try and move pay-per-view numbers. And I think we're now in a period of time where they're not doing it with any of their stars. They're just like, well, cool, we'll just bring in the celebrities, and the celebrities will bring us the Peacock subscriptions, and the celebrities will bring us the rating bumps instead.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would have as much of a problem with it if it was like bringing in the celebrities, because those are external from WWE. You can bring them in. That's always kind of been the thing in WWE. Mr. T was in the main event of the first WrestleMania. I don't have a problem with that. The John Cena thing, though, it makes this company look so low rent and desperate whenever one of theirs make it and they're like, I'm not going to hang out with them anymore. And the one time a year they come around, they're like, oh my God, he's back. Look at our guy. Oh my God. They threw a friggin' birthday party for The Rock and he didn't even say thank you. They're so, so far below the cultural landmarks of like anything else right now that when you get a Rock or a John Cena, they're so desperate to be like, hey, that guy that's in Hollywood, that's our guy, instead of just trying to make more guys that will be fit to go to Hollywood. Not to say that they want them to leave, but build them up to be on similar status with a John Cena or The Rock.
Logan Paul will get that presentation. When he comes back to Raw, like, I mean, he'll probably be on Raw next Monday. He will get that level of, like, of adulation and reaction from, like, WWE. Like, can you believe Logan Paul is here? And deedly deedly dee. Another question to have, like, success. Sorry, are you going to make another point?
Well, I was just going to say, it's like, it's just when you lost your mind last year with the Bad Bunny stuff, where he did the WrestleMania match. And then for like 6 weeks afterwards, we're like, remember Bad Bunny? Remember when he was here? Remember when we were cool for 5 minutes? Just be cool. Just have a better product.
Do you remember there was that week when they just randomly advertised that Bad Bunny was going on tour? We were like, God, that's weird. And then the very next week he showed up in the Royal Rumble. It's like, oh, right, okay. Yeah. All of a sudden the tour days thing makes so much sense now. But yeah, like, I think someone even just said in the chat there, like, WWE's always been a kind of a celebrity company. Like, there was a period of time when there was a celebrity every week as the Raw general manager. Like, Rob Zombie was the Raw general manager one week. Ozzy Osbourne. Like, they've had all of these names, right?
That was a good one.
I think why it's becoming sort of a thing now is because it's so much more focused than what it has been. Like, previously, you know, like when they brought in Stephen Amell for that SummerSlam thing, that was a one-time deal. I know that was the one match on the card. That was the one celebrity match. You're like, cool, that's the celebrity match on the card. But as I said earlier, we're looking at a SummerSlam card where there are two celebrity matches on the card. You look at the WrestleMania card that we've just gone, and there were so many like celebrity and part-timer matches that you're like, oh, right. No, this is now just, this is so much more different than having a celebrity show up. This is now your new norm. This is now your new blueprint for what a successful pay-per-view for us looks like.
Yeah. It's really kind of disheartening because it's not the direction I was hoping this company was going to go. And again, I just, what sort of long-term return are you looking? It's very short-sighted to me.
So short-term. It's a very short-term solution.
Who is going to get over by just having the celebrities come in? Because I don't think Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn really got more over from being involved with Logan Paul last year. The Miz hasn't gotten more over. Nope. That's not how it works anymore.
Austin Theory didn't get over from the Pat McAfee thing. If anything, it actually just showed that Austin Theory's rubbish because Austin Theory lost to Pat McAfee and then Pat McAfee lost to Vince. So like it was just like Austin Theory is absolutely cack. But you know what? Just stick the US title on him and he's all right.
Right. And it just goes to show that WWE over the last 10 years has been so content to take short-term gain and long-term loss. And you would think that at some point, they'd change the direction of some of these things and start to actually invest in the future. And I mean, they've spent bajillions of millions of dollars on a performance center and they fired everyone in it and they've, you know, cleared house there. And the future's not going to come from there. Most likely they might get a surprise. Braun Breaker are probably going to do well,
but Carmelo like, Hayes will do all right.
Carmelo Hayes is going to be fantastic. Already is. You know, there are potential stars for sure.
Zion Quinn's one of the 10, because apparently they're really high on him. Quinn.
I mean, did you hear him list off all the things that are going to make him a star? Vince McMahon basically wrote the list. Oh, my God. It's just like every once in a while you get maybe one. Like, I think Damian Priest came out looking all right immediately after the Bad Bunny thing, and then they ran into the ground, and I didn't care anymore. That is the WWE way of things, of course. But I don't think we're going to be looking back in years to come at like, oh, yeah, you remember when Logan Paul really helped the WWE business upswing? I don't see a scenario where that happens. You might pop a few ratings, might get a few good numbers on Peacock, but like he'll be gone. And we're still going to have this lousy roster that is very, very, very thin. And I would rather have that time spent building stars than being like, hey, we're friends with a celebrity.
Well, Tempest, this is where you're wrong, you see. And this is where you're not seeing the big picture. Because you're right. Like it is short term.
I'm wrong.
Exactly. Like WWE bringing in Logan Paul is a short-sighted thing to do. WWE relying on Pat McAfee to do these matches and bump these ratings and bump pay-per-view numbers is a short-term thing to do. But it's why people say that being a driving instructor is the most stable job you can ever have in this world, because there will always be teenagers learning to drive. If your business model is bring in celebrities, guess what there will always be? There will always be a new celebrity. There will always be a new celebrity. And if there's always so many celebrities, one of them will have grown up a WWE fan. One of them will have grown up and been like, I used to watch John Cena all the time. He was my favorite wrestler. And they'll come in and do John Cena and whoever it is, taking on The Miz and Baron Corbin. And that'll be SummerSlam 2026. That's one of your big main events.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you're wrong, but I do think this is where it becomes much more dangerous because, again, not everyone's going to be Bad Bunny. Not everyone's going to be Pat McAfee. Not everyone's going to be Logan Paul. I think they could be very strategic and choose which celebrities they want to use in years to come and try and vet the ones that will, you know, not be good at this. But wrestling's really hard.
it really is really hard.
So I like,
do it.
Just the idea of, well, we'll just get another person that will teach to wrestle. That makes me clench up a little bit. Because that's how we end up getting, you know, a show filled with celebrities. Because, Oh, there's just more of them. We'll get another one. Oh, TikTok stars. The guy, what? Harlow, whatever his name is. Jack Harlow, maybe? He's a TikTok guy. Clue. Put him on there.
I have a blues clue. But that'll be the next thing, right? It'll be a guy that's got like, or a girl or whatever, that's got like, I don't know, 50 billion TikTok followers or whatever, whatever nonsense. Yeah. And that'll be the next.
Gen Z is. Did I get it? Did I get that name right? Gen Z people. I don't know TikTok.
Like, they'll just, you know, bring one of these kids in, and like, that's their next big star. Like, and it's what their whole athletes thing is, because they tried the indie thing. Like, that NXT's business model of, we're going to bring in the best wrestlers from around the world and put them under one roof and teach them the WWE style, and then from there we'll move them into the main roster, and those will be our new crop of WrestleMania main eventers. It didn't work because Vince looked at them and were like, ah, they're too small, they're not this, flipped this, that, it's not the WWE style. Because what they ended up doing was not teaching these people the WWE style. What they told them to do was just do your ROH matches, just do them on pay-per-view, and we'll just have the best pay-per-views every single month. And they did that, and it was awesome, and we all loved it. But as a WWE business model, it didn't work. So they're now looking at just bringing athletes that have no wrestling training, because we can then mold them into our vision. And that just becomes our guy. They can just become our WWE wrestlers. And that's what's going to carry this company forwards. You know, like, I don't know what's Gable Steveson done since, you know, being drafted to Raw last October or November, whatever it was. Like, he had
Chad Gable.
Yeah, he had one showing at WrestleMania and has done nothing since. But hey, there was all that interest that I'm sure the New York Post wrote that Gable Steveson was in WWE. And now, you know, that 24-hour news cycle, that's all they need. That little crumb of interest from the mainstream media.
I would argue that they need more.
I mean, I would too. I absolutely would do too. I would argue you need a long-term strategy. But, like, you know, the long-term strategy is Roman. So, like, that's fine.
The other guy who's going to leave.
It's already gone. He's not there. Yeah. I was like, he's not wrestling on premium live events anymore. We're going to see him, like, he's going to be the new Brock Lesnar. We'll see him every few months. And we'll be pleased about it, I guess.
You know, again, you will maybe appreciate this, Mr. Brian and Vinny Show. I remember after the review, very specific, the review of TLC 2015 when Sheamus beat Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship in a TLC match. And they were like, why? They keep trying to make Roman Reigns into the next John Cena. Why don't you just have him be the next Brock Lesnar? This is not what I had in mind. This was not the mission. Wasn't the assignment.
You don't think that, like, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is not going to be an amazing match at SummerSlam? Do you not think they're going to do their Superman punches and their German suplexes and do some spears and some F5s and wham bam thank you man, 9 minutes later we're done?
Nice Ed Whalen reference. I appreciate that as a Canadian. It might be good. Might be.
I don't think it will be Tempest, because I've seen their matches since. They had one good match 5 years ago, and everyone's just like, hey, they had a great match then. Like, Was it seven years ago?
Seven years ago. Get out of town.
Oh my God, you're right. It was as well. That WrestleMania 31 match is the only good match that they've had. And I haven't seen a good one since. Actually, to say that, the Fatal 4-Way was good that they were happened to be a part of.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Whenever a big stipulation match is in the main event of a WWE pay-per-view, it's usually pretty good. You know, last man standing matches are kind of hit and miss, but if Paul Heyman's putting it together, he kind of has a view for spectacle and carnage and destruction and that sort of thing in these matches. So I don't know. Maybe this one will be good. They keep trying. Well, they're bound to hit the bullseye by accident again at some point.
I'd love to eat some humble pie. I really, really would. I suppose we'll kind of wrap up this main discussion point that we've got here. Just to answer the question, can Logan Paul succeed in WWE? And kind of like secondary to that, do WWE see any benefits off the back of this?
I think, well, it all depends on what you consider success. If he earns his money and he's happy and he pops them ratings, I guess that would be considered a success. If we're looking back on it in 5 years' time and be like, wow, Logan Paul really killed the careers of all these people that he beat. I can't believe that time Logan Paul beat Bron Breakker in his debut. You know, that will be bad. But I don't know. It's trying to guess if WWE is going to do the right thing is a losing effort at best. So I think there's a total possibility that he could be successful and the WWE could see a net gain from this. But does that happen? I do not have the slightest clue.
I think the WWE will, like we said earlier, they'll see some short-term gain from this.
Yeah,
like exactly. You know, the first few shows that he'll do, they'll get a bit of a ratings bump off the back of them, and I think there'll be some interest going into SummerSlam because he's having a match, and I think that'll happen. The problem is when he's doing his third or fourth WrestleMania match that, like, right. I think the interest will have dwindled then, both from a fan perspective and from like a media attention perspective. Like he's not going to do the 1 million buys or whatever he got for his boxing match on pay-per-view. Like that's not going to translate into WWE. And like why that doesn't translate, I honestly don't know, because you'd think it's the same thing. You'd think Logan Paul doing a wacky gimmick thing. And like that boxing match was more worked than wrestling. Like it's cool though. Well, that's
it's cool though. It is culture. Yeah. WWE is so not cool. It's the furthest thing from cool. And those boxing shows, like whether they're a work or some ridiculous cash grab nonsense, celebrities are going there. They're the ones showing up and going, yeah, I'll take seats in the front row for this nonsense social gathering. When was the last time you saw like oodles of celebrities in the main event of like, or in the crowd of WrestleMania? You see like a few of them behind them at like the commentary desk, and that's it. But it's a happening. It's an event to go to that one.
I think I would counter that by asking the question of like, when was the last time you saw oodles of celebrities at a wrestling show that were also into that wrestling show? I'm talking about like a Michael Clarke Duncan at WrestleMania that was there to be like, oh my God, I'm at WrestleMania and I'm having the best time and I'm really into this. As opposed to just like, look, it is NBA All-Star. I don't know. I can't name
Trae Young.
Trae Young just standing there and he just goes, thumbs up, happy to be here. He gets a little name button. You never see him again because he gets carted off somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Again, WWE, not cool.
It's not cool, guys. We're cool. Speaking of which, actually, the last news story I wanted to touch on before we get in is Dave Meltzer is reporting that free agent as of next month, apparently, Io Shirai is not looking to re-sign with WWE. They offered her a contract and she has turned it down. And we may be seeing the last of Io Shirai in WWE.
Those Zoe Stark segments really took their toll on her.
Remember when people thought she was cool?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I am happy to hear it. Another one will be free, you know?
Kind of in a way, yeah. Because
it's disappointing.
Yes.
Deeply disappointing.
But Io Shirai is emblematic of the let's bring in the best wrestlers from around the world because they'll be the ones that are taking our company forward versus the new model of actually we just want people who don't have interest from elsewhere. Like we don't want people who are stars before they get here from wrestling. So she was never going to work, I don't think, in WWE. I think the second they went to 2.0, she was dead in the water. Kind of the same, a Roderick Strong, dead in the water the second they moved to 2.0.
I mean, Asuka has done well. For WWE standards, Asuka has done well. She's an established star, has pretty consistent-ish booking, if for WWE standards at least, you know. Typically top of the women's division, I would consider Asuka a success. I have not seen any other Japanese stars have that level of success in this wave since NXT started. Like Nakamura won the Royal Rumble, but hasn't done anything since then. Kenta was never big in WWE. Kairi Sane never did well.
He was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that one time, Tempest.
He sure was, Luke. And he got eliminated by the Big Show. And he looked like a geek. And it really does bum me out that you will look at the NXT roster and see Io Shirai and everyone else. And Io Shirai is the one that they want to use to get the other people over. Let's have Io Shirai wrestle the Cora Jades and the Mandy Roses and the Raquel Gonzalez's and such. Like, I don't know what. Well, I do know why, because Vince is a nut and he doesn't want good, talented wrestlers on the main roster. And that's just how he wants his company. And more power to him. He can bury it. If anyone's going to kill it, I'm going to kill it. But, like, why wasn't Io Shirai on the main roster a year and a half ago when she lost the NXT women's title? Instead, she had to stay in NXT and be in a tag team with racist-ass Zoe Stark.
It's the same reason why Bayley, like, you know, yeah. Bayley had to stay behind because they took up Charlotte Banks and Becky. And they were like, what? Oh, we need someone else who can stay here and show all our new girls how to work. Like, she needs to work with the Mandy Roses and the Eva Maries and this and the other, sort of show them how to kind of get the best out of this brand. And that's the role that Io took. She was the Bayley of her time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kind of is baffling to me, because I think that you could make a very solid argument that Io Shirai is maybe the best women's wrestler in the world. Like, she's very, like, top tier. She's excellent. Best moonsault in the world. Easily. Best moonsault.
Easily.
So whether she goes to Stardom, whether she goes some other American promotion, she's going to do great wherever. It makes me sad that I won't see her on the show that I review every week. But I think she'll be better off for it.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think for me, it's not a case of like, I'm disappointed that I'm not going to see her on TV every week. I think the thing that disappoints me is that I should have already been seeing her on TV every week on Raw and SmackDown. Like, she should have already been out there and killing it. Like, they had like her, Kairi Sane's another one. Like, Dakota Kai's a great one of just like, they should have been on that main roster eons ago. They should have already been like in WrestleMania programs, and they weren't. Yeah. They were kept behind in NXT for various different reasons, and then they left, and then that kind of bums me out a little bit, because I think that they could have done something really, really good in that company.
I might watch my mouth, because I might turn this into a list at some point, but the list of people, the stars to go through just NXT and never get called up, that list is pretty staggering at this point. And when you consider how much money they signed these talent to only appear on NXT, the biggest money losing show that's on TV that they have, I don't see how that makes any sense. I mean, y'all had Adam Cole under contract for like 4 years and never put him on the main roster. Insanity.
I was about to say Pete Dunne was another one that I forgot he was on the main roster.
Like, who is that?
Literally, I was thinking about this just the other week, and I made the exact same mistake. I was just pushing a shopping trolley around like a supermarket and stuff, and I was just like, whatever happened to Pete Dunne in WWE? Why didn't they do anything with Pete Dunne? And then I suddenly was like, oh no, he's on SmackDown.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get into your Ultra Chats. Join the conversation. Rustalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them above the $5 level. Mod Mother, if you are around, I think you are on the stream today. If you are, thank you all so much for your hard work. We always appreciate it. Can we get a poll going? Are you excited for Logan Paul in WWE? Yes and no. I'm curious to know. Curious to know. Anyway, here on the subject of Logan Paul, 10 Ruzza said a few things. Number one, Bad Bunny instead of Logan Paul, please. Well, there's your problem, is that Bad Bunny is legitimately, like, he's too successful elsewhere to commit to a WWE thing.
Yeah, full-time, or whatever part-time this is going to be. Yeah, give me Bad Bunny again. I miss Bad Bunny.
Number two, how long until WWE becomes Triller Fight Club? And number three, how long until he's just a guy? Couldn't give an F if he comes in, giving me more reason to not care about WWE. Claudio in WWE, now that is good. I think number three, he'll never just be a guy, because they will always present him as a big deal. So I think that I don't think he'll ever just be a guy.
I mean, a guy to who? He's a guy to me. I'm not too nice to Paul. You know, yeah. He's just a guy on the show to me. So, like,
that's true.
He's already not special. I've seen him at WrestleMania already. But if, you know, if they make a big deal out of it, yeah, I'll give it a few matches, 3-4 maybe. Then I'd be a little concerned.
Will Campbell said, the difference between Logan Paul, Pat McAfee, and Bad Bunny in other celebrity matches is that the three of them are actually good at wrestling. Get the frustration and the cynicism, but at least they're bringing in stars who can actually wrestle. That is a fair point, Will, actually. Like, you know, we'd said this about Pat McAfee, and it's very true of Logan Paul as well. And that's why I said earlier, like, Logan Paul was awesome at WrestleMania. Like, they will have, like, the fun celebrity matches. I think more my point is perhaps the cynicism side of things is, like, how long does that last? Because, like, right. If Logan Paul has a great match at WrestleMania, but then has a completely butt match at SummerSlam, does then that, the excitement then from being in the Rumble completely lessens?
I think so. I think so. I think that is just kind of like, well, this will work until it doesn't. And then the first time that it works, like, all right, we don't want to see it anymore. Get rid of it.
Omar Jose said, I agree it's a big-time signing, even if I don't like the guy. That being said, I would definitely pay a good amount of money to watch Walter chop him to death on live TV.
Ooh, if you put Logan Paul against Walter, I'm watching.
I'm watching.
That's the one match. If you book it, I will watch.
I'm gonna push back on it slightly. Because I would be more into that match if Paul is the heel and Walter is the babyface. Mm-hmm. I've got zero interest in watching babyface Logan Paul mounting a underdog comeback against Walter.
Right. That everything where I'm like, I'd look forward to this scenario with Logan Paul. They're all him being the heel. He cannot be the babyface in any scenario, and I will look forward to it.
Chris here says, they don't do this with women. You don't see many celebrities on that side except for Ronda. They do have multiple on the brink of breaking into the Hollywood mainstream. That's actually a fairly point. Like, I mean, yeah, they don't really tend to bring in, like, apart from Maria Menounos and Snooki, are the only ones I can really think of, and of course Ronda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I don't really know what to point to with it. I mean, Cardi B was saying, I used to watch wrestling a year ago. And
that's right.
And Lacey Evans got her big mouth.
Yeah, Lacey Evans got real upset about it. And then Cardi B was like, I have no idea who you are.
You 30,000 Twitter follower ass wrestler talking to Cardi B. You know, so yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. It's just maybe not as much interest. Again, a lot of these people, I assume, are being like, yeah, I'll do WWE. Oh, I'll come in and do a wrestling match. Hell yeah. I watched WWE since I was a kid. Maybe there aren't as many female celebrities coming to them and being like, I'll do a match.
That's the key to it, right? It's like with Logan Paul and with Bad Bunny and with Pat McAfee, it's like, well, they were wrestling fans. Like, they grew up wanting to be John Cena, right? So, like, you need to have those. It's finding that celebrity that also has that story.
Right.
And Tenrosa said, we'll love the team of Cargill and Banks to use their celebrity pull for AEW. Luke Stevenson has expressed interest in going back to his state wrestling school. Just need Shaq back for a match in AEW and Snoop to make an appearance. Rock versus Reigns, WrestleMania 39. I mean, yeah, look, that's one of the... You're looking at the wrestling landscape currently for WWE. The big match that they've got lined up for WrestleMania is a celebrity main event of The Rock versus Roman Reigns for the titles.
It's the biggest one. It's the biggest one you could do. It's the
biggest match they've got.
Maybe one of the biggest actors in the world. He's definitely the best wrestler in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, versus like their big star, like their top guy now for multiple years. It is legit the biggest match they could put on that card. And I think that says a lot about WWE and the way that they have treated their roster over the last few years. I mean, you are desperate to know where Shaq went in AEW, so...
Yeah, not you, Luke. When I was like, hey, Luke, here's the prep work for your list of the 10 biggest missed opportunities in AEW so far. And you're like, you put Shaq disappearing on here. I'm taking that out.
I kept it in the end.
And you kept it in.
I kept it in the end.
You're right. You're right to keep it in. Because where did he go, Luke? He disappeared. He's still out there in the woods somewhere. He's sharpening a stick to shank Cody with it.
I like that. Yeah, I think if Banks goes to AEW, whether she does or not, I don't know. I'd imagine, like, if I was to put money on it, I think Sasha Banks would probably not jump straight back to wrestling. I think WWE are desperate to bring her back,
and that's why you do it in wrestling. That's why you be this generation's Alundra Blaze or whatever, jump ship. And I wish she still had a belt, because she would literally drop it in the trash and it would be legendary. But I mean, I will be honest, Jade Cargill and Sasha Banks involved with each other in some way, I think that's money.
You know what? Like,
there's a lot to that.
Angela on this show made that pitch of like putting her with the baddies and then having Sasha Banks be like, I'm going to like work my way. The fight then for the leadership of the group.
Yeah.
It's a cool story.
I think so. I don't know. I just look at, like, I think Sasha Banks could step in and be like, obviously one of, if not the biggest women stars in AEW. Like, clearly she's at a star level. She's bigger than all of them just by being in Star Wars and on Hot Ones and that sort of thing. But man, you could literally line her up against any potential opponent or teammate or whatever in AEW, and I think that that would make for some pretty good television. I'd have Jade pretty near the top, though.
Ten Resident said, Lance, the main story is Io Shirai possibly joining Kairi in Stardom, which is what we just discussed earlier. I'll be happy to see that. I hope Asuka will wrap it up in WWE soon as well. I'm looking forward to Rampage tonight. I think Corbin in the Jericho Appreciation Society would work. Happy Canada Day, you Brits Tempest.
Whatever. Baron Corbin in the Jericho. No. This goes back to like Ollie's idea that he wants them all to wrestle like Baron Corbin.
It's a bad idea. Like, I love Ollie like a brother. It's a trash idea. It's a trash suggestion. It does not work. The 666 Sentinel, this is a leftover chat from yesterday's AEW review, said the ass claimed have no right to be as hilarious as they are. Bowens and Castor ooge charisma. The ass boys are getting better in the ring each match. Daddy Ass is the best guy to these goofs. Ollie is right. They are the best faction in All Elite Wrestling right now. Jam that jam.
I disagree.
But do they beat those like New Japan Young Boys dead easily, like just Billy Ass and Max Caster?
I think they hurt one of them too. Maybe one of them. It might not have been the same one. Was Alex Coughlin in that match? I'm not sure. They all kind of blended together. I think he was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got hurt either in that match or shortly afterwards, which is unfortunate. But no, the Ass claimed are not the best faction. I love the Acclaimed. Everybody loves the Acclaimed.
Everybody loves the Acclaimed.
And the rest of them I could do with
them. NS Ogre has been a Memberg for 11 months in a row. Said, Tempest seems to be a lot more energetic and happy. Hope everything goes well with this new chapter of your life. Thank you for all of the entertainment.
He seems to be a lot more energetic and happy. You said he used to be. I was like, what? Did you see me dancing at the start? I got so much space now. It has been very reinvigorating, I will say that. I felt it this week. I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. It's unreal.
It's wonderful to have you here. Legit Underboss said, all of this talk of Hollywood celebrities on this show, that of all the shows Denise is to miss. So happy Canada Day, Lord Tempest. Yeah, I mean, we really could have done with like Hollywood Salcedo here to wait. And she literally could have told us of celebrities that are wrestling fans. She's probably got them on speed dial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, happy Canada Day in the meantime. You get happy the Canadian Canada. On Canada Day instead of the Hollywood person on Hollywood Day.
And I learned something about Canada today, didn't I, Tempest? Chatting earlier. I learned that it's real big. And Ontario is real far away from British Columbia. I didn't know. I didn't realize it was that far away. And then I said to you, I was like, wow, look how close you are to New York City. And you said, no, we're not.
I mean, it's just so easy to miss Canada with them tucked all the way down there.
It looks like it's such a short distance on that map. It looks so much closer than apparently it is.
Yeah, it does. You drive 6 hours in Ontario and you don't leave the province. You drive 6 hours, you go to two different countries if you're here.
Oh, dude, I can get to Wales in 3 hours. Actually, now that I've moved, more like five. But I can get to Wales in 3 hours. I can go to a whole different country and get around. Yeah. Congratulations to Spencer Trainer, who's become one of our new Membergs, and adds in, hey boys, brand new Memberg. I wish they'd realize these celebrity matches do not need championship belts. Glad to see you in the UK, Tempest. Good job, homie. LIW for life. So this is a bit of a hot topic that I've heard on a few other podcasts, which is like, yeah, let's do Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania, but you don't need the belts on the line. And I feel like I'm the only one screaming into the void being like, of course the belts will be on the line. Like, if you're doing the Rock versus Roman, the belts are on the line, because in WWE's eyes, like, that makes it the bigger match. It's winner takes all. It's adding Rock Cena too didn't need the belts on the line, but they put them on the line.
See, this is a much longer conversation topic that I would like to get into here, because this has kind of been like Louis Dangor's drum that he's beat on Twitter. And every time he tweets out that this needs to be for the belt, he gets all the Twitter people to like descend on him, which, you know, is what he does. But I don't know. I can see it going both ways. I've seen a lot of people be like, no, this does not need the title. You put the title on something else and it makes it more predictable. Well, I don't care about predictability in this match. The Rock is not going to beat Roman Reigns. If he does, I will eat those words, but I do not see it. And so far, the concept of the head of the table has been embodied, but the title has been...
It has been embiggened.
It embiggened the strongest man. It's a perfectly cromulent word. I do think that the title is more linked to all this than you just have him lose it to somebody else, and then The Rock will come out and they say, oh, I'm really the head of the table, and then they have a match. I think it would mean more if this was the main event of WrestleMania for the double championship, The Rock being like, no, wrestling is still my family business, and I'm going to be the champion one last time, and I'm going to beat you because you need to be put in your place, little brother, little oos. You know, something like that. I don't know. It doesn't make a big difference. The match will be great. The match will sell out the building. It'll be a big deal one way or the other. I would probably put the titles on them. That being said, if that involves Roman Reigns holding the titles until then and not being on TV, take those titles away immediately.
I think he's just going to hold the belt till Mania. I also want to clarify my point as well. The match does not need the titles. The match will have the titles, though.
Right.
Like, that's the point I'm making. It's like, of course, it's going to have the titles. It doesn't need them, but it's going to have them.
It will, won't it? Oh my God, I cannot take a full year of part-time Roman Reigns as double champion. That's LFK. Unacceptable. If he was on for every week, I'm fine with it. I wanted a 4-year reign, 8-year reign, beat San Martino's record.
Caleb K says, while Logan might not be a draw for most AEW fans, I do think that it'll be a success for the US casual audience. Oh, actually, that's an interesting point. Like, I wouldn't have thought that, like, bringing him in as a way to kind of, like, get AEW fans across. Like, it is just for that casual audience. Like, that's who the people who they're trying to appeal to, right?
Sure. Yeah, I suppose. If that's what hooks the casual fan that supposedly doesn't exist, more power to him.
Look, I'm one of those people that doesn't believe it exists. He also adds, when is Ollie going to start the Sasha Banks to AEW confirmed? Happy Canada Day, Tempest.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we'll be doing the full thing. Like, it was just a running gag we had for CM Punk, but then he actually came back, so the joke doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah.
And lastly, Legit Underboss says, Joe Manganiello is a wrestling fan. He took Sofia Vergara to a PWG show and is rumored to be in a D&D group with Tall Paul. Well, Joe Manganiello, like, he is a big D&D head. He's a massive D&D nerd.
I didn't know Big Show was a tall guy. No,
I didn't know that. Didn't know Tall Paul was there, though. Sofia Vergara, like, but the problem is, like, yeah, Sofia Vergara is, but she was a celebrity from 10 years ago. Like, she is not a modern current day celebrity, I would argue. Like, she is not the sort of things, like, because what they're trying to appeal to is kids, the Gen Zers that are on TikTok and stuff, right? Like, so I love Sofia Vergara, don't get me wrong. I think Modern Family is quite a fine little program. I don't think she's going to be quite the draw, the sort of celebrity draw that they're after.
No, I'd think not. And as much as I'd like to see Joe dress up as Deathstroke or something, or Flash Thompson, that works too. Going bully Peter Parker in the halls of whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I like Deathstroke though. I think that's a really cool outfit. You should wear that to a wrestling show.
And lastly, here from Spencer Trainer, who just said, my last Ultra Trap for today, but I've also become a $25 Patreon backer. You've picked an excellent time to do it. Said, I got a very good job recently, and I have to give back to the people who kept me going through such a rough time in my life. Love you guys. Well, we love you, Spencer. Enjoy all the content over at patreon.com, which includes mine and Ollie's review of TNA Slammiversary 2005. Which Tempest, you will be unsurprised to hear, features a spirited debate about whether or not the King of the Mountain stipulation is actually good or not.
Oh, I've heard the cliff notes of this debate. I can't wait to listen to it myself.
Because, I got a record. I think it's a great match. I think it's a great stipulation. I can't see anything wrong with it. I don't know why Brian Alvarez was so mad about it. Brian Alvarez and Vinnie B always so mad about the King of the Mountain match. No idea. The penalty box is a great idea.
Oh, I'm going to get you to make some TNA content on BFK or something.
Oh, I would love it. Just like, take me through all of the great TNA matches, great TNA, like, the TNA storylines you all forgot. That'd be my deal. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the show. Just to remind you here that I do think Insane Clown Posse are better than Disturbed. I mean, you can't argue with facts, though, can you? We've got the end of our poll here. Are you excited for Logan Paul in WWE? 68% of the audience have said no, while 32% have said yes. So,
couldn't even make it 69.
Nice.
Not nice, y'all.
So, Tempest, it's your, I can't say it's your first weekend, it's your second weekend here, but, like, I would say this is your first full weekend in the country, because you spent a lot of that Saturday traveling, and then Sunday was working with us. So, what is your first weekend looking like?
Money in the Bank live reaction.
Oh, God damn, you're doing the Money in the Bank reaction, aren't you? Oh, yeah.
I'm forgot doing about a that. Viewing of an apartment tomorrow at 9:30, and then I'm arriving at work at like 10 and I don't think I'm really going to leave until the wee hours of Sunday morning. That's going to be a long day, but I'll spend it with good people and it's not going to be too bad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you'll be doing like the new. Are you doing the news portion of the?
I don't know if I'm doing the news portion this week or if Pete's going to do SmackDown and news and I'm going to do Rampage and we do the review and then on and on we go. I don't know what the plan is going to be for after that. But yeah. I think that might change. But
yeah,
I have a story that I want to tell because this happened. Yes, I do. Because this happened last night. I'm very proud of it. So a few of us went out last night. I didn't work yesterday. It was my toil for Forbidden Door. And so it was Andy Datsun's birthday. Spoilers if people didn't know that. We went out for his birthday. And, of course, games were brought. One of the games was Six Nimmit.
Great game.
Had a really bad start. Really bad start. Not good at all. I ended up with, I think, 31 points after the first hand, which is like you're halfway to dead immediately. And then the second round, I got like 18 points. And so that put me like right kind of getting close to this precipice. I was at 49 and then I got 16 more and I got to 65 and you need 66 to crash out. And I did not pick up one more card the rest of the game. I rode that lightning the entire rest of the way and did not pick up a single extra card. And I think it was like I was wide out in front as the obvious candidate to be the one to lose this. But I think I ended up like tied for second place.
Amazing. Because
everyone else ended up passing me. And I was so proud. So proud of that one.
That is something to be well proud of. But my bigger question is, where did you go? What pub did you go to?
I'm bad with names of all these things. You know where you go over the bridge and then there's the stalls. You get all the different street food and there's the
bar. Okay, you went to one of those.
Yeah.
I actually haven't been there yet. So when we first moved to Hackney Wick, that was all being built. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't open. It was all finished like during the pandemic. So like we came back and like, and so I haven't really been, but pretty much since the pandemic and since being back from the pandemic, I've been in like dad mode. So like I'm going home to like look after the kid and stuff and help my wife out. So I have still only seen really parts of like Hackney. I haven't seen any of the new stuff that's like across the way. Like I know you like the other guys in the office go quite a bit. For me, it's still the merchant south, which I absolutely love, and Four Quarters down the way. But yeah, I haven't tried any of the new cool places yet. One of the places that I feel are like really Hackney, really Hackney, those places. And I want to try them. I think like once the kid's a year old, you know, come September, I might be able to take the chains off a little bit and might be able to like actually go out of an evening. Because I felt really bad because like social media Abby was down because she comes up every like couple of weeks or so, like because she doesn't live in London. So she comes up and stays like a Tuesday and then goes back on the Wednesday. And I said to her, I was like, what did you do on Tuesday night? She's like, I just went back to my hotel room and just watched Love Island and went to bed. And I was like, oh, that's a real shame. She's like, yeah, no one does anything on a Tuesday. And I'm like, and then because you all went out on the Wednesday to do Andy's quiz and then went out on the Thursday to do Andy's birthday. I was like, oh man, I feel like next time you're up, we need to make an effort to like do something on a Tuesday. To really like show Abby that she doesn't have to just go back to her hotel room and sit on her own and watch Love Island.
I'm not in charge of any of these plans.
You are not in charge, but neither am I, because I'm like trying to rush out the door so I can get and like drive down the M20 so I can get back to Kent of all places. Anyway, do you know what? That's all we've got time for in this edition of the show. If anyone's curious about my weekend, taking the kids swimming. That is it. The sun is shining. I'm going to put together some patio furniture in a little bit. I'm going to go sit on my goddamn patio and I'm going to have myself a beer. And I cannot wait because the sun is beautifully shining. It's a wonderful blue sky and I'm going to take advantage of it. So if this podcast felt short, it's because I was rushing through it so that I didn't have to sit indoors for much longer. Thank you all so much for listening. Back tomorrow, Tempest and Pete will be reviewing SmackDown and Rampage, a very, very interesting episode of Rampage. By all sounds of things, Yeah.
I don't know. Spoilers. I don't know anything.
I'd say, well, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying
I haven't
anything.
Even watched Blood and Guts.
Oh, you haven't? Even watched it. No. Watch Blood and Guts, man. We got to watch it on the Fight account. Now you can watch it on the Fight account here. Like, just if you haven't got the details. Fight account.
Yeah, I've had my own Fight account. And I've just been using it.
Yeah. No, you got
I'll watch it. I just ain't had time.
Use the work one now. Anyway, that's what we've got time for in this edition of the podcast. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye. Oh, on Sunday, Ollie and I will be reviewing Money in the Bank. Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.